Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Norman, Oklahoma is Courtney Blau. Courtney is Attorney Risk Management and Compliance for Norman Regional Health System, and we're going to be talking today about Section 1135 waivers. First, Courtney, thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Good morning, Adam.
Good morning. And so let's dive into this area, which I have to admit, before you raised it to me in our previous discussions, I was less familiar with than others. So let me start with a basic question on the assumption that there are others who are a little less familiar, just like I've been. Can you define what Section 1135 waivers of HIPAA are?
Sure. When I say Section 1135, I'm talking about specifically subsection B of 1135 in the Social Security Act. And this is a section that provides express authority to the HHS secretary. Now, at the start of our pandemic, that was Alex Azar. Of course, now with the change in administration, we all know that to be Xavier Becerra. This person now can waive a number of health regulatory requirements, including those for Medicare, Medicaid, CHIP, and most applicable to us, HIPAA privacy rule.
Great. And I think we all certainly saw a lot of changes in terms of all of those areas during the pandemic. Now, what blanket waivers were put in place as a result of the pandemic?
Sure. So 1135 grants authority to the HHS secretary to waive five specific sections of HIPAA. Our compliance and privacy professionals out there will be very familiar with these five. First is the requirement to obtain an individual's consent to speak with family or friends involving that patient's care. Second is the requirement to grant an individual's request to opt out of the directory. Third is the requirement to distribute a notice of privacy practices. Fourth is the requirement to grant an individual's request for privacy restrictions. And the fifth is the requirement to grant an individual's request for confidential communications. So in response to the coronavirus pandemic, the United States Code was actually amended, providing additional authority to HHS, something that we haven't seen in the past. So now the U.S. Code states that the HHS Secretary can implement amendments to HIPAA by means of program instruction or otherwise. And put quotes around that, Adam, program instruction or otherwise. This was something that was subject to a public hearing or notice or comment period before, but now the public is likely unaware.
Now, how should healthcare providers adjust their process as a result of these waivers?
Sure. So the waiver is effective only for a three-day period after it's implemented. So most legal counsel, including myself, will really recommend that providers and hospitals not adjust their processes as a result. Obviously, you can see how this would create lots of confusion for providers and hospitals. But instead, they should continue to maintain their normal operations. A couple of things to remember. HIPAA was put into place with a public health activities exception, and that exception permits disclosure of PHI without authorization as long as it is to a public health agency. These are our U.S. agencies, either state or territorial, as long as they have the responsibility for public health. This can be even in the form of paper or electronic PHI. And the public health activities exception is triggered by any of these four events, including reportable diseases, public health surveillance activities, public health interventions, and public health investigations. So that's pretty broad. So when you hear a recommendation to do nothing in response to this waiver, you still can fall back on your public health activities exception if you need to. And as privacy professionals, I think we're tasked with remembering that HIPAA was enacted with two explicit purposes. The first purpose was to ensure health insurance coverage when going from one job to the next. We know that is our health insurance portability portion of the rule. And the second purpose was to guarantee security and confidentiality of our PHI, and that is the accountability portion.
Now, what should providers be wary of? What I mean is that the government has not given carte blanche in this area, and there are still lines out there. What are some of the lines that people may think they should cross but shouldn't?
Sure, that's an important question. Well, according to HHS, they're very clear that ignorance of a HIPAA requirement is no excuse for noncompliance with the rule. So noncompliance can be met with maximum penalty each time. This applies to all covered entities as well as their business associates. And many business associates and covered entities will have state privacy laws that are stricter than our federal HIPAA privacy law. This includes states like California and New York. So for providers and hospitals who fall within these states and under these state privacy laws, the waiver may simply be inapplicable to them.
Now, with the pandemic waning sometime, hopefully, the public health emergency will be over. Will the waivers end, and how should compliance teams start preparing now for when they do?
I think that's one of our most important questions, Adam. And I would note for our privacy professionals out there that the public health emergency was renewed on April 15th by our HHS secretary. So we don't know when it will end, even though we're starting to see some lifting of mask mandates and we're seeing a return to some normalcy. So according to termination of that 1135 waiver, there's nothing in the statutes or in the regulations. So official termination is never announced. I would always recommend that providers check with their legal counsel in order to see when something has ended, and check newscasts and bulletins.
So what do you see as the future for HIPAA waivers?
Most privacy professionals will tell you we're not certain what the future will hold as far as the 1135 waiver. In December of 2020, we had a notice of proposed rulemaking for HIPAA. The comment period was then extended to May. We still could see some changes and some modifications based on that comment period. So going forward, Section 1135 could look a little bit different. If you look back into history and what Congress has historically done, this 1135 waiver is relatively new. Before the September 11th, 2001 terrorist attacks, the public was generally opposed to disclosing their personal data to public health authorities unless there were small and minor exceptions. But following the 9/11 attacks, the Bush administration and Congress determined that the government should have additional defenses. These defenses included things like pharmaceuticals and vaccines in case of a chemical or nuclear attack. Remember in 2001, we had the anthrax poisoning where 5 people died. That added to the fear of the public and their acceptance of disclosure of their personal health data. In 2003, we had the SARS epidemic. And remember right around that time was in the early 2000s when we saw the explosion of the technology era. So in response to that, Congress passed the Project BioShield Act. That was in 2004. And that act granted HHS authority over the development, procurement, and use of medical supplies. These included things like chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear attack supplies. So Congress has acted in the past, Adam. We certainly can anticipate that they will act again, especially since we have a recent notice of proposed rulemaking to HIPAA already.
One of the things I think we've learned over the last year, and you know, as you point things looking back, is that health emergencies do occur on a regular basis. And when they do, there are going to be changes and we all need to be prepared for them. Well, Courtney, thank you for sharing those insights with us today. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Chertelt from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.